you know, hey, I've got to be honest with you. You get the ultimate radio dream job here, Zub, and hosting mornings on ESPN Radio. I can't imagine how excited you've got to be for this new journey.
It's interesting. I've been a TV guy for 20 years, you know, so it's one of those things where, but you know how it is, like today, like, you know, TV guys are doing radio, TV gals are doing radio, and radio people do TV. It's all about just integrating yourself as much as you can into the sports conversation wherever you have to be working. But yeah, for years I was working on SportsCenter, primarily on the late night editions. I'm 42. I don't know how old you are, but I mean, I was old enough to remember getting cable in the house. Some of your younger listeners are probably like, this guy's a geriatric or whatever. But I mean, it was a big deal when we got cable in the house, and Linda and Kenny, Linda Cohen, Kenny Mayne, Keith Olbermann, and to just watch those people and to be able to work alongside all of them is amazing. You know, I mean, like most people, you know, you start at the bottom. I was working student high school football, and I would do anything for any amount of money. I'd volunteer. Same thing in the radio business, right? You'll do anything to get a shift. And I was kind of the same way in TV. But, you know, these days I kind of go to sleep around 3 in the morning with these, oh boy, ready to go West Coast baseball games that may never end. But now we'll be kind of getting up at 3:30 in the morning. So that'll be a switch. It's been 20 years of mostly nights and almost all nights at ESPN. So this will be a little bit of an adjustment.
Are you a morning guy at all? Are you going to be pounding down the coffee the first couple of weeks? Because I know you've been working a lot of nights, as you just mentioned, but you've been doing them with our Ithaca guy, Kevin Connors, for a little bit.
My guy, Kevin Connors, I knew you were going to bring him up because of the whole Ithaca connection. We actually worked together Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I think we worked together last Saturday and Sunday. And believe it or not, he was actually, I think he's more than 20 years out of college. And he was taping a fun little vignette for one of his old college roommates, believe it or not. So it's been great. He's a great, great guy to work with. But yeah, I'm not really a morning person. I'm 42, not married, no kids. So there's no excuse not to sleep in, to be
right.
honest with you. So it's one of those things where I've been doing that for a really long time. But in all seriousness, you know, not having kids, I mean, right now you're thinking about, are they going to be in school? Are they not going to be in school? What's going on? Remote learning, this, that. I'm kind of lucky in the sense that a lot of those decisions, you know, my brother has 2 kids that are 4 and 2, and he's got to worry about that sort of thing. And so do so many other people. It almost seems a little silly that the biggest thing I have to worry about is, you know, making sure my alarm clock is set. And then a bigger issue, hoping we have sports, because as you well know, look, I mean, sports talk radio has been going for what? Better part of 30 to 40 years, yeah. Over 35 to 40 years. And we've had one interruption, and that was September 11th. And anybody that's old enough remembers where they were that day precisely. I remember I was a local sportscaster working in Iowa. It was on a Tuesday. And you may recall 6 days later, people don't think about this because of the tragedy that 9/11 was. And next year will be the 20th anniversary, and the Mets and Yankees are going to play a game on 9/11. But they actually played a baseball game 6 days after 9/11. Not a lot of people think about that.
Yeah.
And so now we've been in a spot where we've had sports, you know, shut down for 2.5, 3 months. If you're an NFL or college fan, you're still waiting for your sport to come back. Golf, UFC, racing has given us some stuff. But it's just the proper context to look at it. Even when the country had one of its greatest tragedies, maybe sports is a unifying force. Baseball certainly was a different thing, as you know, at that time. It's way different today. And obviously what the New York teams mean, and obviously with 9/11 in many cases being identified with New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington. So maybe there was an extra impetus to get going once again. But here we are in our latest tragedy of a different sort, and it's completely essentially shut down sports. But here we go. Between July 23rd and the last day of the month in an 8-day span, we're hoping to have back the MLB, the NBA, and the NHL. I think they're all going to start. It's a matter of if they can all conclude.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin begins on August the 17th here on ESPN Ithaca. We're chatting with Zubin Mehenti here on BTL. Let's get to the business with some of the sports talk, because that's what the people want. So, as you alluded to, you know, we're lucky in the sense that the NBA, MLB, and NHL are just about ready to get going here. But if you look ahead to, let's say, college football and the NFL, they face a bunch of different hurdles and a bunch of different challenges. You know, I think here in Ithaca, we saw Cornell and the Ivy League scrap the fall sports season. We're seeing more and more colleges question a return to play. Do you think that we see any football season in the fall, whether it's college or the NFL?
I do. I think it's going to be delayed, and I'm with you. I think everything Robin has done with the Ivy League has been tremendous. They were proven correct during the basketball tournament. People scoffed at them 2 days later. Everybody essentially did the same thing. As you well know, when it comes to Ivy League football, because there is no playoff, and it's treated just as, you know, a little bit differently. Even the basketball tournament is now 4 teams, and they were the last conference to implement a basketball tournament. I think it's fair to say that sports is not the priority at those schools, and they do have the endowment to withstand any sort of loss, even though I'm not sure what the revenue loss would be vis-a-vis bigger institutions that are more inclined to care about sports. But I would say the Ivy has been out in front. I do think this is an unconventional take that a lot of people aren't espousing. I actually give credit to the Big 12. Like, everybody, you know the theory, right? There ain't no way they ain't playing football down there, right? And I'm just sort of like, I actually think that's a too simple of a way to look at it. I agree with you. The passion for the SEC is unrivaled.
Yeah.
But right now where we are on July 22nd, I'm not saying you have a month because you can't just get on a plane and go somewhere in 3 hours, but you've still got a couple weeks to figure this out for college football. I commend what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did, but I think that was more for students. Like, for example, if I was a student at the University of Michigan, I would want to know if classes are on because people are coming from all over the world. My parents grew up in India, Asia, Europe, South America, Australia, all over the country. They're coming to be students at Michigan. You have to tell them what's going on. So yeah. The student athletes, they're already there. So it's not that big of a deal. Use the runway. The NFL is not starting till the 10th of September. College basketball is not starting till the 10th of November. These sports have a lot more runway than college football does, but college football actually has a little bit of time to decide. I mean, think about what happens after our phone call is done. If after our phone call is done in 72 hours, the government says either the coronavirus is really taking a sharpward downtrend or more likely taking a huge upward spike, you wouldn't be surprised. In other words, right. We can't predict what's going to happen later this week with the coronavirus, much less what's going to happen next month or something along those lines. So I think wait for the data, see what it says, and because you do still have maybe a week and a half, if not longer, you can make a decision. And I'm not saying things are going to drastically turn around in a week and a half, but as we know, living minute to minute, day to day, a week and a half can be an eternity. So I absolutely think there's going to be college football. It'll be in some way, shape, or form, not the way we've used to seeing it. Who knows what that means for the playoff? Are teams going to be evaluated differently? Bill Hancock, the executive director, says no, but you never quite know. I think the NFL is going to the point where they just got lucky. Free agency happened. The draft happened. But then when you saw the Hall of Fame game get canceled, you sort of saw them say, okay, we need to step into reality. But I would remind you that some of these NFL teams are still unveiling plans with limited seating, even though some other teams like the Jets and Giants have said no fans at our game. So I think you're going to see some football in some way, shape, or form, although I don't think there's anyone out there, almost anyone, that could accurately tell you what it is right now.
Yeah, Zubin Mehenti joining us here on BTL. Catch Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin beginning August the 17th here on ESPN Ithaca. You know, let's face it, especially when it comes to football, you always think of the fans, and fans are such a huge part of what we live for when it comes to the world of sports. And I can't help but think of that ESPN study that just came out here a couple of days ago about fans wanting a return of sports despite the pandemic that's going on. And I guess I want to put you in a fan's shoes, if you will. Would you feel comfortable in today's climate going to a sporting event and attending a sporting event in person?
I would not. I'll be honest with you. But yeah. I also believe that the television experience is getting better every day.
Sure.
And in some cases, it's actually more enjoyable depending on what the weather is, or if you want to check your fantasy team, or you're worried about the stadium having the proper Wi-Fi when you want to text your buddy that's at another game or at home. I actually think the TV viewing experience, that's part of the reason I would say yes. There's also a ton of research out there to say that even if there is a vaccine, there's a good portion of the American populace that will not take it. And that's a big issue. You know, Novak Djokovic, I'm guessing you don't talk too much tennis on your show, but, he's one of the most popular athletes in the world, one of the great sportsmen and tennis players. He's the most prominent person that says that, he's not interested in a vaccine. And there's a lot of other people that feel that way. So just if there is a cure, I mean, look, they've been working on an HIV vaccine for 25 years. There is none. They've been working on a breast cancer vaccine for almost as long, and there is none. So, again, I'm not an epidemiologist or anything like that, but if Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx say that it's possible, it could be ready by the end of the year, I'll trust them. History seems to indicate that it does take much longer, and the skepticism from the American public today in some quarters would lead you to believe that even if there is a vaccine, the guy sitting next to you or 6 feet away from you or a gal sitting 6 feet away from you at a game has not taken the vaccine. And that's something that, again, I don't want to get too into the weeds about it, but if the assumption is there is a vaccine or there isn't, and people are taking care of themselves and doing things properly, you just don't know. You know, you just know who you're going with. So I would say I would be not in favor of going. I'll give you a great example. Look, last week at Texas, they love NASCAR. They love racing in Texas. Probably another thing you don't talk about too much on your show. But
believe it or not,
they
do.
They have a track. Oh, good. Oh, good. So as you know, in Texas, Texas Motor Speedway there in Fort Worth has a capacity of like 135,000.
Yeah.
And they were at 50% capacity. So they said, we could allow 67,500 people to come to this race on Sunday that was run, and you will still feel super safe, even with 67,500 people there. That's how big this track is. 15 to 20,000 people showed up. Again, it is Texas in July, so that may have something to do with it, too. I'm not trying to bake out there watching a race for 3 hours. But if you really think about it, the evidence seems to suggest that even fans that are able to go to things are not attending.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're big baseball people here in these parts of the Finger Lakes, and obviously Yankees baseball starts up here tomorrow, and I know we're really, really excited about it. Do you feel like the Yankees are the favorites to win the AL, and everybody's going with the Dodgers in the National League? Do you see that matchup happening for a World Series in a pandemic-shortened season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the sports books have essentially had it out, with the Yankees and Dodgers being heavy favorites. But I just think there's the intangible of, and again, I mean, I don't think these guys are spooked with cardboard cutouts behind them, but there can be travel issues. Look, I mean, if travel is restricted in the country, let's hope that doesn't happen. It seems like the Yankees might be fine, because you still got to go down to Atlanta, Miami, and Tampa, but it's really going to wreck things in the National League, in the American League Central, American League West, National League Central, National League West. I love the Gerrit Cole signing. I mean, 324 is a ton of money, but he's coming off one of the most statistically dominant seasons of all time. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I know we talk in so much hyperbolic terms, like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing I've ever seen. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Gerrit Cole really is coming off one of the best statistical seasons ever. And as you know, as a Yankee fan, we mentioned this on SportsCenter the other night. John Anderson and I were working on Monday when we were showing some highlights of the Yankees and the Phillies when Judge hit that home run with three outs. I don't know if you happen to see that. That was pretty funny. But it's one of those things where if the season starts on March 26th, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan per se, but correct me if I'm wrong. There would probably have been no Giancarlo Stanton, no Aaron Judge, no Aaron Hicks, and no James Paxton.
Absolutely.
And if there's one positive thing to come from this pandemic, quote unquote positive, because there's really nothing positive that's come about it. But if there's a small positive in the world of sports for a Yankee fan, it's that you're going to look much more like the team you were hoping to have.
Real quick, before I let you go, Zubin, with the show starting up here in just a couple of weeks, we're less than a month away for you, Keyshawn, and Jay. I mean, what can we expect to hear from you guys on a regular basis?
I think one of the biggest things for us is really going to be making sure that I take you inside the game. My job is to accentuate those two guys. So often, and I'm sure you watch a lot of sports on TV, and I'm sure your listeners do too, you know, there's just too much of setting blocks and what happened on the pick and roll and why wasn't this switch picked up and this pancake block. On TV, that stuff's great because we have all the visual cues to show it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on the radio, we don't. So I want to ask these guys, what's it like to just be at the free throw line in a Duke Carolina game with your heart beating out of your chest, Jay Will? What's it like to play for the Jets, Keyshawn? These guys are in phase two of their careers. They don't want the old man thing, but they're also in a situation where you really want to think about it and put them in the right spots, take them back to where they used to be. We always talk about at college football seminars when we have, if there is a season, we always say, hey, raise your hand if you've ever stood in the tunnel before a game, and like 95% of people's hands go up. And then the bosses always remind us, okay, now remember, fans, they're 5%. So take those fans where they have never been before. You might take it for granted. I'm sure you cover a lot of local events up there in the Finger Lakes, but think about how many of your listeners would just love to swap spots with you and go to cover these things and get paid for it. So what I want to do is to make sure that we just don't get too technical with these guys. We're worried way more about just tell me what it's like. Put yourself back when you were a player, because so many people would just love to experience that just one time. And you've been doing it so often, you think it's perfunctory and normal. So take us inside that world. Give us a peek inside what it's like to be you and what you did, because I think so many of us would love to live that dream for just one night. And I don't think we do enough of that on sports talk radio and TV. It's just too much breakdown, too many numbers. Numbers have just taken over. Like, numbers have just become so big in sports that we're losing context and we're losing everything. So I want to just get it down basic. What's it like to be you guys take us into that world.
You hit the nail on the head. Storytelling is so key with this gig. Great to see that it's going to be resorting back to that. Zubin, hey, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Can't wait to hear what you and the gang bring us on the 17th when everything begins for you, Keyshawn, and Jay. Well, thanks so much, okay?
Awesome. Call me anytime.